Blog Talk Radio.
Let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
You know the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
You must keep it
real. It's your host, Brother Alfred, and co-host, Brother Groovy.
When I call, and you may not think that I care for you, when you know deep down inside.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
Yeah. Once again, it's Brother Alfred in the house. We are here. Me and Brother Koofy is here. We are on. Brother Koofy's in the back right now doing a little thing, but he'll be with us momentarily. Today we are talking about it's over. The relationship is over. The friendship is over. The partnership is over. Basically, it's all over. Everything in society, everything that we try to do in society has a beginning and an end. We must understand that, must coexist with that, must respect that in every aspect of the Lord. So it's our job to see the signs. When things go wrong, and things are being said that's not really truly understood from both parties, or they're not communicating properly, or the language is not there, we're going to look at ways to save the relationship, but we're also going to look at ways to try to understand when that relationship is over. Okay? So everybody tune in, get into it, participate if you can. Okay, I'm sorry. I had to take a little break here real quick, 2 seconds. But like I said, we are live, and we are asking you, our viewers, to tune in. Give us your view. Put your comments down. Type your answers. What's your opinion? We are live. We're trying to get into the subject of when is the signs of a relationship over. Give me your opinion. Now, this is a subject I've seen being talked about countless times, different views, different scientists, and different perspectives of atmospheres. There's things that we need to do to understand that you started off great, you lovey-dovey, you hard, you kind, you can't go to sleep without talking to them, and that specific person, okay, is not there. So what I'm trying to tell you, and I'm saying to you, we need to be participating and understanding not just the signs that the relationship is good, but when the relationship is starting to dissolve. And we don't understand the signs of those relationships when they're being dissolved or broken apart, then we are creating a unhealthy atmosphere and environment for ourselves that can be not just toxic, but mentally and physically destructive for your life. So you need to have those understandings and those views and those tips so you can know the basics. What we're going to do today, we're also going to have Brother Koofy going to give you the history of some of the greatest breakups seen. And also give you the break, understand we're going through the history of some great environments or signs. We can go into that's been changed because, believe it or not, dating has changed. The way you meet people has changed over the years. There used to be times where you meet people through pen pal services in the back of magazines. Then they went from that, they went to, okay, you went to the bar, you know, or you go to the club or whatever. And then that's changed. Now you go from the club, now you go to the internet, and you go to another section. Now you got online dating, and then now you're doing, you call it text breakups. All these things are coming into play on a different level of thinking. And we have to understand how breakups have evolved as well as finding that person has evolved. So we're going to go into a little bit of that, but, you know, we just want to make sure everybody gets the chance to do it. We also have an expert that is giving you the five tell signs of a breakup, how to tell if it is broken up, and what you can do to recognize these signs. Okay? This is the expert that's been supported, also was a student of Dr. Ruth Ginsburg. Dr. Ruth, the love doctor, I call her the shortest, wisest woman of all time. But she knows her thing. But her students and her, those that follow her, they heed her warning and things. So we're going to go into that. And we're also going to go through a little bit of other avenues of understanding this so-called breakup. Brother Kofi, my brother, so what you got for us today?
Hey, what's up? First of all, I apologize for me. I was about a minute and a half, 2 minutes late, so that threw things off. But I think you guys are, I was in a place where you guys weren't going to be able to hear me, so I had to try and get away. And then once I called in, I was having issues. So thank you guys. But if you talk about marriage in general, we talked about marriage last week, and how marriage, the further back you go in history, the more you understand that marriage was always considered to be sex. Sex and marriage are the same thing. And so because we've changed that, that means that all of these things that we like to go back to, and for lack of a better word, we like to romanticize, we're in a place to where we're not even we used to do. Chauvinism has, because of a lot of Eurocentric thought, just being honest, has entered into the game. The way we look at people is a lot different. The way that we think about people is a lot different. And but since we're talking about breakups, which is an interesting thing, because the reality is that breakups usually happen because we went in with the wrong mindset of what love, that action we talked about last week, where love is an action so powerful, it brings about description, but it's also a description so powerful that it brings about manifestation. So because of us going into marriage with the wrong mindset and already having a mindset that's going to really be a defeatist attitude, we're walking in. You know, think about this. We are taught to make sure that we go in with a prenup in mind. And when you go in with a prenup in mind, we're already thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to get a divorce. So I'm prepared to break up with you, in essence. That's really what we've become as a people. I'm prepared to break up with you. That's how we go into relationships. We don't go into relationships with, I'm going to do everything in my power to make this work. We're already thinking, I'm going to do everything in my power to protect myself once this does not work. We even do things that are weird as far as relationships, because if you're going to be with somebody for decades, you know, 70 years, 80 years, stuff like that, then you can't have a mindset that says, oh, I'm going to go ahead and, be with this person, but my kids come first, because your children will grow up and they will go ahead and be on their own. And that's why you see a lot of people in their 40s and their 50s being in a place in which you are constantly and consistently, getting divorces. They've been together decades. They'll be together 10, 20, 30 years, and then they get to what we call a midlife crisis. And then all of a sudden they can't exist together. It's not really a midlife crisis. The reality is that it's really more so that we have never, come into the relationship with the right thing. So once we ran out of whatever was keeping us together, whether it was children or, hey, this person's paying my bills, or, this person is good and pleasant to look at, but now she's not so sexually satisfied anymore, whatever the case might be, we run ourselves into a situation where now we have nothing left. So, breakups usually are going to happen not because of the fact that we fall out of love, which is that action, but it's going to really happen because we never had that love or that action in the first place. So now the divorce becomes a reaction to the fact that we never had an action. And that's really what you're dealing with historically. People get together and they have feelings and all this, but feelings don't equate to a long marriage. How you feel about somebody doesn't mean you're going to be longer or shorter in marriage. There are a lot of people who like each other and still contact each other and speak to each other and have good relationships concerning their children. All that being said, they still, you know, get divorces. They might be great with each other and like each other. They might enjoy each other, but they couldn't find a way to love. They couldn't find a way to do, like we talked about last week, Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, or to see the differences between men and women. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, by Dr. John Gray. So these are things that usually happen because of that. So, and now, especially because COVID has forced us to be in a situation where now, oh, if you really love me, well, we can't go anywhere. Now you don't get breaks as much from me. You don't get breaks from being a father. You don't get breaks from being a mother. You don't get breaks, you know, to where you may say something snide, but you say it to your friends behind my back, but now they'll see your face all the time. If I serve you, I don't get to serve you for the, you know, 30 minutes I do during the day. I've got to serve you all day long. You know, I've got to rub your back all day long. I've got to take your feelings into the equation all day long. And so the breakups that we're seeing, the divorce, it's really not a falling out of love. You know, it's the fact that we never gave love in the first place. We gave the bare minimum. We gave enough to go on a date. We gave enough to be able to, you know, if we just be honest, if we can be adult about it, we gave enough to hit it and quit it. You know, we gave enough to do that, and then the relationship got longer. We went on more dates. Somebody said, let's get married. But we didn't even realize that when we were hitting it, that was marriage. You know, that was already marriage, and we were supposed to be getting results already. So that's kind of where we've gotten to, you know, in a nutshell. That's kind of how we've gotten to where we are now with this high divorce rate. Which, by the way, can't even be blamed on race anymore. Race across the board, even before COVID hit, divorce is at a rate to where everybody's getting divorced at 50% or higher. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Well, actually, I would say there's certain religions that don't, but even some of the major religions like Christianity or Judaism or whatever, you're seeing divorces at rates that you've never seen before. And so it's not even about your religion or your lack of religion. It's not about whether you're Republican or Democrat. Right. It's not about whether you're black or white. It's about what is love in the first place, because a lot of us are falling out of something that we never even gave.
Well, let me put into this like this. Well, I'm going to add into this. Listen, well, to give you facts to be on it, I was going through a divorce recently, and I used a guy called through a company called Low Cost Legal. Okay, that's lowcostlegal.com. Anybody wants to know about him, you can give him a call, tell him that Brother Alfred sent you and everything like that to work with you. But anyways, they are swamped right now. They handle nothing but divorce cases. They said that they're so swamped that some of the cases they have to put on hold, a backlog right now. Because they said since the COVID's going on, that people are filing divorce and so great. And plus, the only thing holding up is a lot of states, a lot of locations, the courts are not open because of COVID. So because of the coronavirus and everything going on, and you are home all the time with this significant other that you married or been with, and that, you know, you finding out that's not the person I wanted. I married. I thought this person was different. I didn't know this person was like this. I didn't know that this person would do this to me, that, and this and other. And everybody's expecting a fairy tale, but it's not a fairy tale. So because of that fantasy, that mentality, you're thinking, okay, this person's going to sweep me off my feet. We're going to go into paradise. I'm going to own the world and buy a house here and do this then. And your mind just all over the place when you meet this person. You're thinking this person's going to give you every damn thing. But the reality is, if you don't let the person know, listen, this is what I can do now. This is what I'm trying to do later. I'm trying to get to this, but I might need a little help. If you don't communicate properly in the beginning of the relationship, and then so things start to feel a little bit uncomfortable for yourself. So the divorce rate is skyrocketing. The relationship, even in Islamic, I swear, there is more Muslim men right now that rather do polygamy, that is, be married to more than one wife, than have one wife. And it's increasing, and the Muslim community is crying right now over it. Because the man can't stand, okay, this wife is bothering me, and she's pissing me off. So guess what? By number one, I'm going to live with number two for a while. I'll come back to you when you calm down. This is what's going on. And now, this is not even considered halal, really, because it takes a lot of process to be in a polygamy, that polygamy relationship, mind, which we can talk about another time. But what I will say is that it's increasing, and then the divorce rate is crazy, okay? The divorce rate in Islam is crazy, and it's not really supposed to be divorced. So husbands are writing letters saying that I give permission for divorce. I give all the time. You meet this woman, you talk to this woman, you get to meet the family, you do the process, whatever you got to do to make the marriage what they call a blessed marriage. And then next thing you know, you live with each other, and now you're divorced within a year or after a year. You're not communicating, and you're not able to have a great understanding of each other, how each other think on both parts. So these things will come into it. Now, we talk in the black community, it's like a bunch of Italians almost. You're fighting, you're bickering, you're in the house, you're in the hood, you're hearing drive-bys, you hear people out in the street protesting because of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor out there. And some of them are out there protesting because they don't want to be at home. And they know they can scream, shout, whatever, support, but they're getting the stress out that way. So one of the things we need to do is understand those signs. Those tell signs
can I,
of...
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, too, that's a huge piece of it, too. Like, a lot of people use so many different things to be able to get out of what we are supposed to be as responsible adults. We try so many different things to be able to get out of something that we're supposed to do. And you see that a lot with religion. You see that a lot with anything that can. People are constantly finding ways to get out the house. And one thing that I've discovered is that if your first thing is to get out the house, and I know there's some people like in my house, you know, my family, there's, you know, some of us that like to be outside, that like to be in nature. We do a lot of things with picking different things out of nature to be able to eat and so on and so forth. So I'm not saying that there can be no occasions in which we go away from the rule. However, you see this a lot in churches, especially, or in mosques too, in temples and different religiosities where people are trying to say, okay, I'm going to serve God all day, every day. So they're able to go and be yes men and yes women. And a lot of times I've even had to deal with a lot of sisters, you know, men can do this too, but I've dealt with it more with sisters, where you'll have these sisters who can tell you everything that the pastor said and always be there for them, but can't be there for their own husbands. And so a lot of times I got to send them home for a little bit and say, don't come back till you make sure that you give your husband the same thing that you want to give these leaders. Because your husband, you know, in this relationship, you've got to put your husband before some outside source. And in our relationships, we got to put each other first. And this is a huge piece to the puzzle, because not just with that, but I like how you brought up with the protests. A lot of people are doing everything they can in their power to not have to see their own families. And so if you're doing that, that's a place where we've got to start seeing, what were you doing in the first place? What was it that, were you ever doing anything that was going to allow you to be in a place where you thought that a successful marriage, a successful parenthood, a successful relationship with those in your intermediate family was good? Or basically, once you had to get tested on it, did you have to find another excuse to stay away from your family?
Well, yeah, we know we have to keep on to think about that because it's people are using distractions. Okay, there's an old street hood. What I'm going to say is the 5% nation would say, you know, it's a slang terminology, a Muslim slangology. They use put your mug to the rug. Okay, that meaning, okay, I got my woman stressing me out. So still dealing with her and her issue, put your mug to the rug. Okay, if I just seen my friend sleep with my wife, put your mug to the rug. So, you know, no, instead of dealing with the issue, trying to deal with it properly, you put your mug to the rug. And since you're doing that, you just like you're basically going around the issue. But yeah, cool. Seek guidance from your higher central being or a person or the Most High or God or whoever you want to worship. Okay? But you still gonna have to deal with the issue of your responsibilities and your relationships. That's out there. Now, we can talk about love relationships all day, but we could talk about partnership relationships. Well, a partnership relationship is like your homie, your friend, your best friend. How can you tell when that relationship's over? When your friend that you let's say you have James, right? You known James since you were kids, like little kids, right? You grew up together, you hanged out together. And you start, you know, James goes to college, goes on, but you always try to keep in touch. But then somewhere along the wrong lines, you start to say, okay, I got a little bit more time now. Let me reach out to James and see if we can, you know, collaborate on something. Can we do something? Hang out. James comes to you and says, nah, man, I'm good, dude. I can't do it, son. I gotta go, God. I got something else I gotta take care of. So
hello, Brother Alfred. All right, well, I'm not sure if I'm on, if you can hear me or if not. I'm going to see if I can text Brother Alfred. If you can hear me, Brother Alfred, just let me know. I don't want to be talking over you. But it seems like everything kind of just went away. So I'm texting him right now, and then we're going to continue the show until I hear him again. But, yeah, so, you know, talking about, you know, different things having to do with relationships, and there's a lot that we could go into. You know, there's a lot that we could talk about, we could determine. And there's a lot of things that we ignore, we don't want to really bring up, we're not really giving our attention to, and so many different things that could be confusing and bewildering going through these times. But it still is not an excuse for us to make sure that we drop, you know, what we've been doing or what our initial pledges were to each other. You know, even when you get married, to death do you part, sickness and health, better or worse. You know, these are things that we say, and now we're in the Word. And once again, because we don't really comprehend what marriage really is and what that pledge to each other is and that pledge to become one with somebody really is, we have forgotten that we are, in fact, supposed to be, you know, becoming one no matter what, even in the Word. And so now here comes worse. Here comes worse, you know.
Right.
You know, sick. And so people are not ready for that. There we go, Brother Alfred. Amen. I'll go ahead and get out your way and let you continue where you were leaving off.
I do apologize, brother. I called drop. Listen, we do have somebody who wants to talk into on this. 202-425. You are on. You're on the NSF radio show. Go on, brother family. How you doing? Say your name and what is your opinion about signs of a relationship that is over?
My name is Maya, and my thing is that, yes, there are some relationships that need to end, but I think the introspection is missing. I think people are looking on the outside a lot of times and projecting on people what their feelings are about something. Instead of looking at the relationship for what it is, they're saying, is this person, is that the problem? I didn't do anything. But then it's like, if you keep having that type of situation where you're in a relationship or not being able to maintain your relationship, it comes a time where you have to start saying, what's the common denominator here? Is it me? Or is it my lack of communication skills? Is it my lack of maturity? Or is it really the other person? Because if it's more than, you know, two or three people in your life, if you're in a relationship with, you got to start looking at yourself, is what my opinion is.
Well, yeah, you can look at it from that. But see, mostly when you're dealing with, like you said, about insecurities or something like that, you're questioning yourself, and you're going through these things, you're asking yourself, okay, I've devoted or invested just what, that's why I say, you know, a relationship is like a business almost, if you think about it. When you get a business, successful business built up, you have to invest money, time, and cultivation of the procedures of the business and how things should be run. When you bring partners into the business aspect of it all, you have to have an agreed partnership on terms and conditions of a relationship. If you do not have a proper understanding of the terms and conditions, then the business is not going to grow, just like in a relationship. A relationship will not grow if you don't have a basic understanding. And we talked about this. The first step of a successful relationship, right, is to pour a base, to make the base. When you make a cement block step or block, you have what they call a base. That's the frame part of it all, okay? And the foundation is something you pour into the base, okay? So you have to make that framework solid to hold the foundation, because if the foundation is not holding properly, then you cannot have a strong foundation, and something or anything can come in and destroy that foundation. Now, if that foundation is destroyed, there's signs that you can tell, okay? And most foundation, when it starts to crack, the weather has gotten into it. They talk about survival. The plants take overcome the foundation, or these are some of the other signs that the basis is not holding and that things are starting to waver and change among you in your relationship with your significant other. Now, I also said last week, when we went to last week's show, that we have to know our love language. And if we do not know our love language in our family or our relationships, then guess what? Those relationships can be destroyed. And the reason they will be destroyed, because we're not focusing on understanding each other's way of communication. And those other ways of communication are determined from childhood, how you was exposed to love, how you was exposed to happiness, and what your definition of happiness is. You have to make sure both of you or both parties understand the language. And if you do not, you're going to have destruction. Yes, the foundation started out pretty good in the beginning, but it can be doomed for toxicity, admittedly, if you do not have the proper basis. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, and also, well, first of all, that was the 202 number. That was my wife. So, hey, babe, thanks for listening in, and thanks for your comment. And one of the things, you know, that we have to understand, too, to hold on to listen to, that she was putting in, that's something, you know, that we not only teach, but we try to live. You know, it's if you don't have that foundation, going even with what you're saying, if you don't have that foundation, if you don't know what that block is, if you don't know what your business is, per se, with one another, you're going to have issues. Like, if I call, for example, if I call, you know, I know this is an antiquated reference now because they don't exist, you know, but, you know, Toys R Us, and I'm complaining about a service that I had, or I'm complaining about a toy being defective or whatever. Toys R Us, because I'm a customer, sure, they will listen to me, but they don't go outside of what their standards and things are. They have things that are already put in place, right? And so, when you know, so if you were to have an issue with it, or if you were to go somewhere and you had an issue with your meal and something wasn't done correctly, they're not going to come up to you and start trying to do things according to, you know, what you specifically have to say, just to a certain extent, but they also have a way that they deal with their customers. Oh, okay, this is how we serve our food, this is the temperature it's supposed to be, this is how fast we think it's supposed to come out. They already have a list of things that are there. And so because of it, they don't have to go outside of their relationship, you know, and I think that's what Maya was trying to say is, you know, they're not coming outside the relationship because they already have a relationship. They're not coming outside the business plan because it's already set in stone. This is our business plan. This is how we operate. They don't have to worry about coming outside of things because there's already a standard, and many of us miss the standard, you know, whether that standard is love language, whether that standard is the block, whether that standard is how do we spend money, right? Like, there are standards that should be there that should supersede a lot of this stuff that we are trying to come up with on our own. And so because we don't have standards, right, so going back to the Toys R Us example, you have your own standards and you have your own way of doing business, and if somebody doesn't like that business, it doesn't affect what you're going to do overall. You're going to do what you're supposed to do. You're still going to provide what you're supposed to provide, and you're not going to start looking at the customer and say, well, I know we have these rules in place, but you know what, today we're just going to throw all those rules to the side because our customer is angry. But think about what we do in our relationships, where friends and family and everybody has something unique to be able to tell us about how our relationship would work, but they're not in our relationship. They have everything to tell us about our relationship, but once again, they're not in our relationship. So you're not even in my relationship, but you're all in my business. That old school thing we used to say when we were even children, right? You all in the Kool-Aid and don't even know the flavor, right? You're telling me, but you don't create Kool-Aid. You even need it. And, certain things to where, look, we'll listen to you and everything, and we'll listen to your advice, but also, you know, this is our community. This is our family. This is the way that we talk. This is the way that we speak. This is what we do for our child. You know, this is how we do dinner. This is how we have our, you know, living arrangements, et cetera. And we want to be according to our own standard. And the danger that comes with many people is, as you were saying, they don't have that block or business mentality, but they're listening to everybody else. Once you have your standard in place, your standard is there for a reason. Your standard is there to make sure that your family is good, and it also protects you. If you remember, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, Brother Alfred, but I was talking about how in our relationship, and even when I do marital counseling, I make it a point to say, hey, let's write out a constitution, a marriage constitution. Let's write out some rules and some regulation.
Right.
Let's say how we're gonna, if we have to fight, this is how we're going to fight. If we have to do something, this is how we're going to do it. If we have to have a disagreement, this is how we'll ask the other person, even if we can have what might turn into an argument. We have all these things listed So when any of these things come up, the first thing we should do is come to that Constitution. And that's just another silent. How many people can say that in getting ready for marriage and getting ready for these long relationships and having children with people, how many of you can say that you literally started writing out rules and regulations for your marriage, for your institution? Because that's what it is. And that's why somebody else who's not even in the relationship, or something you see on television, or something you remember from when you were a little girl, or whatever, you know, little boy, whatever, you start having all these memories, even stuff from other relationships that we're not careful. Our spouse will do something, and because it's a shadow, it's not the person, but it's a reminder of something that we came out of that was hard, we have somebody do something similar, and it makes us cower and go back into a fight or flight response that maybe for the person we're with doesn't even matter, because they don't even think like the opposite person. So it's always important to make sure that you have these things in place. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother, because that is actually true. That is actually true. But we also want to keep those steps that so we can understand when it really is just over. So it's 1:35 p.m. East Coast time. So they all out there. This is Brother Alfred and Brother Coopy. We are in the house right now. We're going to go into a little bit of clip. I got a clip here from a Dr. Megan. She's going to go into talking about the five steps of it's over. So please hold on.
Hey, it's Mel Robbins, and I wanted to make this video because so many of you are writing in for advice about romantic relationships that make you question yourself. So I want to teach you the five signs that your relationship is over. Recognizing these signs is critical, even though it might be hard for you to accept it. Now, the fact that you're even watching this video tells me that you're already thinking that this relationship isn't going to last. And even if that isn't necessarily true, those thoughts that you're having that make you second guess yourself and start acting weird and clingy, those will destroy a good relationship. You have a choice to make right now. You either address the five things I'm about to talk about in this video, or face the truth and end the relationship yourself because it's over. So what are the five signs? Sign number one, you don't feel like yourself. In this relationship, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. You don't know how to act when you're in public or when you're around their friends. You aren't sure if you should hold hands. You're uncomfortable talking about your feelings because you don't know if they're on the same page. All of these things mean you don't feel comfortable being you. And any relationship where you have to twist yourself into somebody that you're not in order to keep the peace, it only starts a war inside of you. And those kind of relationships, they always blow up. The second sign, you're constantly questioning how you should communicate. If you're nervous about sending a text asking if they want to hang out, or do you obsess over whether they opened your Snap but they haven't responded, or how long it's been since they texted you back? Do they watch your Instagram story but not respond to your text messages? Are you compulsively checking social media to try to get the clues you need that it's okay to reach out? Any relationship where you spend more time questioning rather than talking about communication is a relationship that's broken. Sign number three, you think about where the relationship stands all the time. So do you constantly think about questions like, where is this going? Are we exclusive? Are we committed? Can I introduce you to my family and take you to a work event? How should I introduce you? What are you thinking? What do you say about me? Not knowing where you stand means this relationship doesn't stand a chance. Sign number four, you're starting to get annoyed. You're now the one opening Snaps and not responding. You're saying you're too busy to hang out in order to send a message. You're hesitant to commit to future plans because you don't know the future of this relationship. You snap at them more than usual. All those cute little things that used to make you laugh, they're really annoying. And here's the kiss of death. If their name pops up on your phone or they walk through the door at the end of the day and you feel dread and not excitement, that's a sign that you're over this person. And the fifth and final sign, you're questioning whether or not you have the same values. If you're starting to feel like you're losing yourself, for example, maybe you're drinking more than you'd like, You're spending less time with your friends. You're skipping the gym. You're only doing things, for example, like listening to certain types of music because it interests them. This is a major problem. If there isn't a balance between the two of you, you will always feel like a less important part of the relationship because you are. Now, here's a quick test to see if you're losing yourself. Just go out alone tonight with your friends, and if it feels like a relief because you can finally act like yourself, that's a sign that this is not a relationship for you. I bet what you're doing is you're confusing chemistry for compatibility. You see, chemistry is like a match that gets lit, but eventually it burns out. Compatibility means you and your partner bring out the best in you, which is why it goes the distance. So let me recap the five signs. You don't feel like yourself. You're constantly questioning how to communicate. You think about where the relationship stands all the time. You're starting to get annoyed. And you're questioning whether or not you have the same values. This is the wake-up call you needed. As Lizzo likes to say, truth hurts. But clearly, you need to hear it. I hope this video made it easy for you to recognize when someone is no longer right for you. Now it's on you to accept it, to move on, and the next time you're about to get into a relationship, remember, you deserve someone who brings out the best in you.
All right, right, right. We just, that was definitely something that we definitely needed to hear. Now, comments, questions, all right? But Kofi, you go first.
Well, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, brother. You might need to go on this because that's the first, you know, that's the first that I've ever heard that. And in all honesty, there were some things there that were a little, I don't know if I necessarily 100% agree with, but I'm trying to think it through. So you might want to start just so I can have a little bit of time.
Go with the devil's advocate. Be the devil's advocate on this one then. Be the devil advocate. Point out false of the teaching.
Well, I mean, okay. Well, for me, number one, I think that part of the problem, once again, is that the mindset of looking for. Now, I understand there's some relationships that just aren't going to work and that you never should have been in the first place. But, like, for example, I think, let me work backwards some because so my memory can help me out somewhat. When she makes a statement as far as chemistry versus compatibility, that sounds good. But, you know, there are some chemical compounds that if they get put together, they last forever. You know, so I think, once again, it goes back to what kind of chemistry or what were you putting together? What was the love or what was the action? Was it, in fact, love in the first place? Or even saying, there are times that you're doubting whether or not it's you can actually discuss something with your partner. I think that goes back to our communication piece. I think that goes back to what are you willing to talk about? How are you willing to talk about it? How are you willing to address these things? Are you in a place where you can only argue? Is there in a place where you know how to argue? Are you afraid to talk to the person because you don't know their love language? Like if you're, for example, if you're, spouse likes gifts and that's their love language, and you come through the door, you know you want to talk about something heavy with them, and you hand them a gift, you know, and you let them have the gift, and then later on you come to them and say, hey, I want to discuss something. They already know that you love them, you've already done something. Or what if that person is about words of affirmation? And so rather than just saying, you know what, like, I'm tired of this, that, whatever, you come to them and you say, look, you're an amazing person, you're outstanding. You do so much for this family. You do so much for me personally. I really appreciate you so much. There's so much more I can say that's positive about you. But if you know, and I can continue to do so, but if you don't mind, is there a time that we can speak? Because I just have one thing that's an issue for me. And so if we could talk about this one thing, I think that I could go back to just focusing on all the great things that you do. So even in that, is a person afraid because they have not learned tools like that? So, I mean, there's a few things for me, but I mean, I get overall, like, you know, I'm also the type of person to believe, look, if you're in a relationship with somebody where they are disrespectful all the time, or if they're putting their hands on you, or if they won't treat you as a human being, things like that. Obviously, there are such things as ends of relationship, but I think sometimes we're so quick to want to get an out because that's what modern relationships are about. Like you were saying earlier, we've changed what relationships are, and we think that just because we change something and we try to modernize it, we try to act like that means that we're on the come up, that we're smarter than those that came before us. We, like our ancestors, didn't know what they were doing, and here we are having all these issues that we're seeing. And I'm not saying that this woman has nothing of value to say, because she said some great things in there, but just a few things like that, it seems like the mindset is already defeatist mindset. Like, I'm already prepared for giving up. Now, I would say this, even as far as what she said with the when she was talking about social media type stuff, where if you're trying to find somebody, you're always trying to see if somebody will listen to you, or you're trying to see, you know, if it's okay to talk to somebody. Maybe that person, you know, sometimes we think we're in relationships with people and that person's probably not in a relationship with you. You might like them a lot, or because you guys got together, you had sex, and now you're thinking this person is thinking about you is more than that. So I think there's like a lot of other things that come into place regarding this, but you know, for me personally, I think sometimes we're very open to getting rid of things. But that's just for me personally. I'm not saying, once again, that you can't, you know, there are situations where you could be ready to leave. But I think sometimes we're very quick to just go ahead and make things ready for that. So it's just a different mindset for me. I might be the wrong person to talk about this type of thing with.
No, that's good. Well, sister, since we still got you on here, why don't you give me your view about what was said, or how you view, and what do you think from a woman's perspective, what is your idea of the signs of a relationship is over?
Well, I would agree with Brother Kofi on this one, because her ideas, they sounded like what people want to hear, but it seemed like her ideas were all over the place. And it seemed like she was talking about knowing you can have a relationship versus ending a relationship. Because if you're checking social media to see what, you know, if you can talk to this person, then you're probably not with that person. Like, if y'all probably had sex, y'all probably hung out a couple times, that's not a relationship. Second of all, I think we need to differentiate or define what we say when we say relationship, because there are different types of relationships. And then what I'm hearing nowadays, like people trying to divorce their toxic parents and things like that. And when I hear that, I see people who are were raised in a good home. They, you know, when I say good, they ate every day. They had a stable place to sleep. Their parents, you know, never like physically abused them, but they have, you know, such negative things to say about them. I start looking at the person as being immature and saying, you know, to this cancel culture of just ending relationships because they don't suit you anymore. There's one thing, like, and I think in terms of, I pretty much disagree totally with multiple points. I agree with knowing yourself, and if you always feel like you're not being valued in the relationship, in terms of you're not able to speak when you want to speak, you're not able to play the music you want to play, you're not able to get out sometimes, but like, you know, as a wife and a mother, I realize that there are some realities that, you know, I have a son. I can't just go out every time I want to go out. My husband allows me time and make sure that I have time to myself if that's what I want to do, if, you know. And, yeah, I just think some of these signs of relationships, I think we need to look at ourselves and understand ourselves first before we try to jump into a relationship. And understand what our, you know, our value system is. And I think our foundation needs to start with a religion or something that's bigger than us, and not try to recreate the world. Because if we could do that, you know, things that have been created thousands of years ago, you know, people have been on this world thousands of years, so smarter than everybody that came before us. why don't we look at what was done before and see, did that work before? Or, you know, because it's funny how we have all the modern day conveniences, we have all the food we can eat, we have all the cars we can drive, and all these, the housing things, but we're not happy. We're more depressed. If you look at developed nations like the United States and Japan, and this place where they have, where we have everything that we could possibly need and sometimes want, yet we were depressed, unhappy, don't have a relationship. There's, you know, we really have to look at what's going on. So, but in terms of knowing the signs of when a relationship is over, I think we need to know whether or not we're in a relationship in the first place. Like, the signs of, like, if you have to question whether, you know, what's your status with that person, you're not in a relationship. If you're a woman and you don't know that your man adores you, then you're not in a relationship. If, you know, if he's not, you know, speaking well of you, talking to his friends and family, introducing you to people, if you don't know your status, you're not in a relationship in the first place, so don't even worry about ending it if it never began. If you're in a relationship,
right,
if someone is abrasive, they make you feel bad, they make you question your sanity, and they make you question that you're a good person, and make sure that you are a good person before you start. But I think make sure that you are okay with yourself first, and then look at a relationship. And the one thing, some wisdom that I got time ago is that you end a relationship when that person makes you physically ill. Like, if the thought of that person makes you physically ill, like she was saying, one of her points, the one point that I agree with, if you dread seeing that person, then yeah, it's over. If that person makes you physically ill and, like, everything they do annoys you, yeah, it's over, and you probably end it because you're doing both of you a disservice at that point. So that's my 15 cents.
Yeah, I appreciate that, sister. Well, you know what? We have to look at that. I like I always do on the show, and it's like my sign is always, you know, I may fall down, but I get back up. But I use myself as an example. If I am in a relationship, and this is from my perspective, and there's things in my past that might seem sketchy to one person, might not sketchy to another person. If I bring that into the new with the new person about the what happened with the old person, the new person might take that the wrong way. And that's when things start to crumble. You start off with a good beginning in a relationship sometimes. And then things start to crumble because this person that you're involved with, one, you're not speaking the same language of love to each other or understanding each other's language. Two, you're sitting there on a constant basis trying to explain to the person what's going on, how you felt about that past situation. But they're not understanding that. So three, you come into the situation, you're trying to fix with the past so you can have a better future for the person. So you're repairing yourself, not just because it's to help repair you for your own personal need and love with yourself, that relationship, but you're repairing it because to show the person you want to be with that this person I want to be with is worth me saying, I got to do this, that, and other. I'm motivating me to do something positive. But because of that other person's situation and them not understanding your unique situation, there becomes conflict. So the relationship starts to crumble. And then those so-called signs start to come into play. So when you're dealing with these kind of things, and the language is not there, the communication is not there, the understanding is not there, these kind of factors come in, you got to say, well, guess what? This is not going to work. If you go out of your way to change yourself or individual, make not change yourself just to change yourself, but change yourself to be the better self of yourself for that mate, then all you're doing is you're showing that person that, well, I love you that much, or I care about you, I'm involved with you, so I apologize, I have this past. Hopefully, if you stand by me, you will see that I will change and be the man that I need to be for you, or be the person I need to be for you, and those kind of signs will come along, and you can maybe within a 1% chance, you can turn the relationship around from about to crumble to maybe rebuilding a stronger foundation again. Those things can come into play. Go ahead.
Right. But even from what you're saying, from the beginning of it, it sounds like that's an issue where somebody didn't communicate. Somebody didn't make sure that they used these tools. Like, I think one of the things that we got to talk about is these tools, but also when are you using them? For example, doing work on the house and stuff like this, right? If the wood, let's say like the wood, I'm putting together a house in the wall, and let's say somehow, some way, I haven't put up the drywall yet, the scaffolding that I have against the brick or whatever, let's say that gets wet. Because I could have put up the wall before it got wet. Like, let's say I waited 2 weeks. And because I waited 2 weeks, I didn't put everything into place that would have been able to protect it. I didn't make sure that there was no way water could leak. I didn't make sure I worked on a roof. Whatever I needed to do, I didn't protect it. So by the time I try to use the tools to be able to put the drywall in place, if I put that drywall up and that scaffolding, that I put up, the wood is still wet, then I'm going to be dealing with wet wood that's continuing to get rotten. And so because I didn't use those tools soon enough, now the relationship is set apart. So I believe it's like, when you become into relationships, like I can be honest, even about her, I came into a relationship. There was a lot of stuff that I put out in the beginning. I was upfront and honest about from the beginning. And if I be 100% honest, there's some things that, because I was afraid of how I was going to be looked at, I didn't necessarily put them out, and they came back to rear their ugly head, even though, we were able to work our way through those things. Now, if I had just simply made sure, hey, I'm honest about a whole bunch of stuff, I'm coming in with this baggage, that baggage, and, it was more so things that had been said about me and things that, they tried to, people tried to drag my name through the mud and tried to put me in jail, and they never were able to do so, but I never liked having myself associated with, and so I was afraid to put that stuff out there. And because I didn't put it out there, well, guess what? It was finally found out about. And when it was found out about, now I have to go through explaining, showing proof, getting documents, showing all the stuff that I didn't do, and all the stuff that I was said to do. And that's an extreme example. But what I'm saying is that, people, if we say the stuff up front, if we say this is my love language up front, if I say I'm damaged up front, this is what damaged me. Hey, I'm going to give all my business, but, we've talked about things in our relationship where we said, hey, these are things that I deal with. These are things that our parents have done to us. These are things that people have said about us. These are things from past relationships. And when we see you do X, Y, Z, we just want you to know in advance, like, that this means this to us, even to certain words. Like, we tell each other, hey, if you use this word, understand that this word is a trigger for me in my language, right? So we learn how to bounce things off, come up with a language that's central to our environment. And therefore, if we do something, we can hold each other accountable and say, hey, we already told you this and that, but it doesn't have to be something where it's automatically, oh, there's a 99% chance of us getting ready to be apart, Wow. Even in that, I think, like, our example, our bond, our marriage, which is going to be to death do us part, or Christ come back, so to speak. But our example is one that's there to be able to show people that, you can have struggles and issues and things like that, but it doesn't have to be a reason as to why one of the first things we're looking for is, oh, this is a reason why it's not going to fall apart. Well, we'll give it the college try, but, hey, I'm ready to look for it. It just might not work, rather than is your mindset already, like, we're in this to the end. And like you said, this is a political statement. This is a faction. This is a business plan. And you're going to have a successful business. Successful businesses, we want businesses to last hundreds of years. You get to a place where you last 20 years, 30 years as a business. You get to a place where you last 100 years. You get to a place where your children get strong because of your relationship. You're doing some big things. And I hope nobody starts a business with first being like, hey, when everything falls apart, these are the reasons why they'll fall apart. Now, once again, I'm not saying that everybody should hold on to a business. There are times where you need to go ahead and file for bankruptcy. There might be a time where you need to say, okay, I started it wrong, let me try another one. And the same thing with relationships. But I think we have a mindset more so now, it causes us to say, I'm going to focus on the demise, or even when we get together. Like, let's be honest, even what we're talking about today, we've been talking more about, even when we weren't talking about divorce or breakup, we've been talking more about, how to prepare yourself to not have a divorce, how to not do this, how to not do something wrong, rather than why don't we have discussions about how to prepare yourself to make your spouse happy, to how to love somebody unconditionally, how to support them no matter what, how to give them everything the best that you have. Like, even our language is coded to be able to help us to focus on the demise rather than the resurgence or just the greatness of what relationships should be. So I think if we use our love language stuff that you've been teaching us, I think that a lot of that used in the proper place and the proper time and the proper channels puts us in a much better situation.
Right. Well, I'm going to first of all say thank you, Brother Kufi, right now. And everything is, you know, as 3 minutes till the time is almost up, but we're going to keep going. Just going to take a little quick commercial break.
What's going on? You're listening to Midnight Oil with King Cam on NSF Radio, where you get music, motivation, and more.
All right. It's almost time for that time again. Brother Kufi, what's going on with Kufi Speaks this Saturday?
Well, this Saturday we'll be on at 1 o'clock p.m. New York time, Eastern time, or Standard Eastern time, depending on how you look at time. And we just want to invite you to come out and listen. We've got another special guest this time. For some of you who might know who this is, we actually were able to invite a brother from TikTok fame, Instagram fame, Twitter, YouTube, et cetera, consciously, that he's going to come in and speak on some things about the community. We'll do another interview / talk you through. So make sure you get your call in and sign in and listen in, and we'll make sure we get your questions answered as well. So hope to see you.
All right. All right, family, I want to say thank you to our special guest, sister. I appreciate you coming on today. It's blessings. Always welcome. Anytime we're on, you just come on in. We were glad to hear your voice because, remember, we, like Brother Kufi always say, we're giving voice to the voiceless and those who need to speak up or basically give a little perspective, a new perspective on things that come along. So thank you, sister. We appreciate you, and we hope to hear from you again. All right. Also, everybody, we ask everybody, please donate. Make a donation to the station right now. If you like the content we're going out, please go to www.nsfatherhood.org/NS Radio Station, and you will come on there. Go to the link, make a donation to the station. Make a donation to the station today and support. All right. I want to say thank you for everybody for coming on today, and I appreciate you once again. I'll say that again and again. All right. Love you. And
let's start the show.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
And open the door.
You're tuned in to NSF Radio.
Remember, I may fall down, but I'll always get back up. Good day, brothers and sisters. Peace.